Praise be to God. Some of you probably knew that we were on a weekend. We'll call it a retreat, but it wasn't really as it was. Yeah, it was. So we had a men, fathers, and sons weekend. It wasn't all just directly fathers and sons in terms of natural earthly parents, although that was the intent that fathers would bless their sons or grandsons. It was just a powerful weekend. And God did some amazing things. So, of course, my son is not here and probably not necessarily in a position to go to this weekend. Actually, it's his birthday, believe it or not. My son turned 32 on the 30th. Amen. Praise God. That's my son, Joshua. So I blessed him on the phone. But I had a chance to take Chris with me, amen, as a representative, and just to bless him as a spiritual father. So we had a great time. And you know what they say, like father, like son? How many of you heard that expression? How about like father, like grandson? Did you see little Isaiah today? Isn't that awesome? I was just so blessed with Isaiah just coming up and just getting on his knees with Grandpa, just giving it to God. Come on, it just brought tears to my eyes. There's no greater joy or delight than to see our children follow the way of the Lord. Amen. Anyway, so this weekend it was just really sweet because Noah likes to fish, right? Well, I took my spiritual son, Chris, wave Chris, everybody knows Chris, on the weekend, and guess who caught the biggest trout for the weekend? Who got the next one? Papa. So Chris and I, we got two trout, one was 18 and a half, and one was about 18 and a quarter, like two nice sized fish. And then we got another one the day before. We got there early. We had a little time to go fishing. And so we fed the whole camp with fish. On one of our meals was fish. Come on, it was awesome. So we had a blast. So it was to do about adventure. It had to do with teaching from David's life of David. It had to do with, giving these young men an opportunity, not just young men, but even guys in their 30s and fathers and sons, just an opportunity to just launch and bless these young men or into the destiny. Because many of us haven't got a blessing from our fathers, you know. So whether we get it from our natural father or not, God still wants to bless us, amen? It was always God's intent to release a father's blessing on our life. So the Lord can do it through others, you know, and through his desire to bless. And oftentimes he'll use people in that opportunity to bless people. So we had a great weekend. Last weekend, our friend Neil Campbell was here, and he was sharing. And now he's actually still here, and he's preaching at Summerside Community Church. So let's just pray for Neil. Lord, I just pray a blessing on Neil. I pray a release of the message you have for him to deliver. I pray for the reception of the hearts. And I thank you, God, even now, the desire he has in his heart to see the culture of blessing, be poured out in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our cities. I pray for blessings. God's desire to bless will continue. Even here, Lord, I pray for increase of that in our church. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just going to take something off from what I just said. There are cultures that actually still practice this blessing their children. And at times, they actually have very significant ceremonies. Anybody ever seen any movies or shows which shows that a family having a special celebration for a son or a daughter that's coming to age? I've seen I've seen shows and movies. And there's one culture that actually does it regularly. It's part of their nature. It's a Jewish culture, right? You've heard about that, the Hebrew culture. And they do these thing called bar mitzvah, right? And so it's, you know, for the sons. And what's the other one, bar? There's another one for the girls. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, they do a ceremony for the girls as well. So I just want to just mention this. There's something to be said about having words of affirmation spoken over your life in a sense of how you feel about yourself in the world and how successful you will be, how, you know, prosperous you will be, how, you know, it's not just financial, it's just doing well in life, let's just say. And so I think it's interesting when you look at the history and you look at the people, you know, some of the maybe the smartest people and some of the richest people or some of the people that seem to are Jewish people. there's something to be said about it. I'm not saying all of them, but there certainly is, I think, a correlation with having affirmation, words of blessing, positive things spoken in our life. Okay, well, is it also true that if you've had negative things spoken in your life, negative circumstances in which you grew up, right, and you just, you felt that negativity, you felt those, we'll call it curses. A curse isn't something that, oh, some witch or some evil person put a curse on me or put a curse on my family. No, it's possible. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. Do you understand? But cursing can happen anytime when we have a negative act toward us or a negative word spoken to us. Cursing can be passed down. Hey, are y'all following me, right? So can blessings. So, as I said, I'm going to use something to launch into my message here. So this is going right to where I'm going. So what happens is oftentimes we've had these things in our life and they've formed in us a certain pattern, certain way of living. So my message today is a continuation of what we've been teaching, and this is going to tidy things up in this series that I've been on. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to just look at the last phrase of this of these verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And just keep in mind what I just talked about here in regard to blessing and in regard to how God wants to change our minds and transform us. So this is the scriptures that I started with a few weeks back, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says here, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Presenting ourselves to God is our spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So the last section of this verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to, another, test and approve what God's will is. And His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, I wanted you to think of something here. We've been talking about this verse a few times. So I'm sure you've gotten something out of it. But I just, without going into all the review of the messages, it's the idea is, Paul is writing, he said, hey, you want to know what God's will is for your life? You want to know what God's good and perfect and accept? How many of you want to be in the will of God? How many want to be in the plan and purpose of God? How many of you want to know? Anybody want to know the plan and purpose of God? Okay, I figured you did. If you want to know the plan and the purposes of God for your life, I would rather walk in those plans and purposes because I know those are good, perfect, and acceptable. Those are going to Those are going to bring pleasure to God, my Heavenly Father, because He's going to say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And they're going to give me pleasure and delight, because after all, He knows how I'm created. He knows how He's formed me. He formed me, and He's formed you in the way you should go. Isn't it interesting that the verse we often use about children in Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should? Uh-huh. What's he saying? Train up a child, the idea, train up a child in the way they were created. Or another way, train up a child in the bent that they have. In our school system, everybody gets trained the same, right? How many of you know? That's like, you basically don't individualize. Maybe it's too hard, but the fact is, it's like everybody expects to do that. The course load. Everybody. So I can still remember. In grade one, the teacher had already made an assessment on one of my kids, listen, as to how well they're going to do in life. And in our interview with the teacher, that what do you call those interviews? Thank you. That's it. Parent-teacher interview. I knew there's a name for it. And they said that this is how this person is. They're not so good at this. They're not so good at that. And they're probably just going to be I don't even know the term they used, but it was almost like they're not going to do so well in life. They're just likely going to just do okay, and they'll probably end up being a manual laborer. It was something very like, and I'm thinking, I hope you're not telling him that. I hope this is not yours. Like, but it's interesting how these assessments are. But God enabled us not only just through this academic, but as parents, to allow this person to develop and emerge and qualities and giftings and the way they were bent. Now, I'm not taking all the credit for it. I just know that there was opportunities given. And this guy is successful from a business point of view. Come on. Hey, so there is some, but the point I'm making here is what God is saying, that, that there is a plan and a purpose for life. In terms of how we're designed, how we're created, how we're built, so we want to know what that is. And oftentimes, so in a Jewish culture, they would give, the names that they gave to their children were very significant. I mean, they weren't just names out of random, names in a hat. What's the most popular name of the year? Let's pick that one or whatever. They gave names to their children which had a meaning, which had a significance to the destiny to which they would go. And they would speak that name over them. And they would talk about their name. And they would even say, beyond the destiny, they would say, "This is my son. His name is Isaiah. And he's going to be, I bless you to be a doctor. I bless you to be a lawyer. I bless you to be," and they just speak whatever, God just, it's like a release of the word of the Lord over these kids. Come on, wouldn't that be great that you'd actually hear those words spoken over your life? That you're going to be a great man. You're going to be a great husband. You're going to be all of these things. Like, it's just being spoken. The truth, the word is spoken over their life. So they're growing up with a sense of purpose and identity, right? A sense of destiny. Now, the sad thing is that we don't have it in our culture as such, and that's not where the message is going, but I just want you to know there's something there, but there are other voices that speak to us. There are constantly voices that speak into my mind, voices that I've heard in the past, voices in my childhood, voices as I grow. So as I'm in school, hey, you've heard this before. Maybe you haven't. Some of you are new here this morning. But I shared this story here before. I did not realize till much later in my life that things I said mattered. I would still speak, but deep down in my heart, I felt that things I said didn't matter. I've been a preacher now for years when this was going on, and I felt like others' points of view were more important. Sometimes I didn't even speak in a meeting. I felt like my word wasn't that important. Well, it wasn't until God, by revelation, showed me that I had started to believe lies about myself because of circumstances that went on in my life. And one of those things were very, it's almost like it's silly and it's stupid. You think, oh no. Listen, I was picked on at school. I was one of the only brown person on PEI in 1969. How many years is that? That's right, 50 years ago. And there was real prejudice here. Some of you know. And it was hurtful and cutting. And and they called me names from up and down and around the corner and everything. I mean, some later immigrants have said, thank you for paving the way, because you don't get it as much. You might still get it, but it was pretty harsh. What does that do to a boy? Thankfully, in my nature, personality, there's optimism. So, I mean, I was able to cope with life and deal with stuff. But I'm telling you, there was stuff said. And so I just sort of came to believe that I was just, that my word wasn't really mattered. It was like everybody else, and especially and I'm just going to say it, because I live in a white culture primarily at that time. But it's their word that's more important. I mean, I didn't put up with it. Some of you know my story. I just scrapped and fought. It's just the way it was. But regardless, it was still words. You know, when people say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never. Words will never. Guess what? That is a lie from the pit of hell. Words do hurt. Is it any wonder when you see people cyber bullying and other kinds of bullying, and there are other, on the other side of the bullying is the victim, and they've taken their life and they've put a bunch of stuff on the post, this is why I'm taking my life. How many of you know these are real stories? Words matter. So when the Apostle Paul is saying, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to Him, which is a spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to the way of this world. What he's saying is, don't be led by the influence. And we talked about that last week as a culture, right? Culture will lead us a certain way. So we got to take a stand against the culture, which is anti-God, right? I want to talk about it in a different way today. So be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't be listening and don't let your life be patterned. Don't live your life according to, really, the lies that the world, under the influence of Satan, has presented to you. The world will present to you a certain way. Now, what's interesting about the world doesn't necessarily mean out there. The world is your environment. Could be your living environment. Could be your home environment. Could be your social environment. Could be your school environment. It influences you. It influences. So my mind, until a revelation from God, until a revelation from God of truth that renounced the lie and repented of believing that lie in my own life and recognizing what the truth really was, came into my life. And that broke the power of that thing in Jesus' name. Are you following me so far? So what I want to say is this. So in this message, it's taking it from Romans 12. What Paul is saying, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the other word transformed means here. You guys were here. I think I mentioned it last week. Who can remember? What did the word transformed mean? How many of you heard of, Okay, you got the word forme in there, forme, form, okay, transform. It really, what it means is being changed into an image. Transformed, it means, you know, it's interesting because the same word is used when Jesus went with his disciples up on the mountain, right? And they were, there's a word that's called transfigured. How many of you heard that? How many of you know that there's a mountain of transfiguration? Jesus went up with the disciples and they all changed their shape, their look, appearance would be another word. They changed their appearance, right? That same word is used here. That's the same word that's used here. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. So what does it mean to be transformed? And the word here is to be changed into an appearance that's different. Now here's the key here. If I recognize that I'm a child of God, see, all Paul is already, I don't want to go back into this, but I'm just going to mention, Paul is already taught in Romans chapters 1 to 11 that God has changed us. There's already a change taking place. Now, Paul, I want you to get something here. Just go to Romans 8 for a minute. This is important for us to see on paper, in the Bible, written. So Romans chapter 8. This is a great chapter. How many of you know Romans 8 is probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible? You want to get yourself into it. You want to soak in it. You want to immerse it. You want to read it. You want to memorize portions of it. It's just a powerful chapter, Romans 8. Oh, great, great. Somebody got a Passion Bible? Awesome. Actually, we've been looking at actually trying to get it on our computer. We may end up doing it sooner than later. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, by the way, they only come up with the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs, but it might be worth getting anyways. It's just such a great translation. And so in Romans chapter 8, we'll start out with just reading a few verses. And, of course, if you have the NIV, it's quite simple. We'll just look at that for a minute in the NIV. It says, there is therefore, we could change that to the NIV for a minute. All right, there we go. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life is set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of I was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinfulness. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering. And he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be met in us who do not live according to sinful nature but according to the Spirit. And then he talks about this. Those who live according to sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. This is not just talking about natural physical death. This is talking about a mind that's controlled by Spirit of life, a mind controlled by the lies that I believed, of the natural, my natural mind. When Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, he said he will lead you and guide you into all. There's a verse that says that. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. So Holy Spirit is now in us. Jesus has made it possible for the life-giving Holy Spirit to be in us and life. So when the Holy Spirit is in us and our mind is controlled by the Spirit, it gives life and peace. Okay, let's put two and two together. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Okay, if he's called the Spirit of Truth, my mind, it says the mind that is controlled by the Spirit is what? Okay, so he's the Spirit of? Okay, if my mind is controlled by the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, there'll be what? Life and peace. There'll be, you know what the word life is? There'll be zest. There'll be energy. There'll be all that. It's like there's power. It's not just, I'm going to live and have mere existence. This is life. This is the same word that is used. Jesus says, I have come to give you life. Life abundantly. It's mind controlled by the Spirit has something that's operating inside that's giving them the energy and motivation. It's almost, you know, you remember that when you got that revelation, Holy Spirit is that motivating thing. It's that engine inside you. I can remember when we were in that group, you know, and Mel said, I understand now what the Holy Spirit's all about. It's because he's there, because the mind that is controlled by the natural is bringing death. Come on, follow me here. There's something that's still, my mind is going to be controlled by something. I'm going to be influenced by something. Well, here I was being influenced in my life by the lie from the enemy that you are not as good as the white people. Hey, really? What did it do? It made me shut down in meetings thinking I had no voice. Hey, I'm with my peers. I'm a pastor. These guys are pastors. We're sitting in a meeting. I shut up. I didn't say a thing. Where did that come from? From lie from the pit of hell. But I'm believing it. Are you following me? You put your story in that. Everybody's got a story, right? But then when I recognize the Spirit of Truth said, hey, you know what? You're my son in whom I'm well pleased. And this got nothing to do with it. You renounce that lie and repent of the things that brought that lie into your life. And God just, boom, set me free. The next week, it was like, I couldn't shut me up. And here's the thing. Once you recognize it, guess what? Others around you recognize it. Then they call you up. I'm thinking, why am I not called up? Why am I not being asked to? I'm not just telling you. It was those feelings. Well, you know, they ask everybody else to pray, and they don't ask me. I'm just using it something that could happen, right? Or what's going on? There's insecurity. Hey, guess, I don't know. But as soon as that got freed in me, everything else got freed. It's almost like there's a blockage. Boom. Thing that was chaining it, things that was locking it, things that was blocking it, was cut in Jesus' name, and things just opened up. So important. So here's the truth of this is that I have to recognize what God has done in my life. And it's interesting because when you read into Romans chapter 8, there's so many great things there that talk about this. And I just, let's read the Passion just for an interest, because it is such a powerful rule. Romans 8, 1 in the Passion. Listen to what it says. I'm just going to read it in the Passion. Thank you. So now the case is closed. Listen, the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the anointed one. The case is closed. In heaven, the case is closed. And you're sitting there thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Well, let's just go up for, case is closed. The condemnation is not coming from God. The condemnation is coming from a voice. That's a lie. The case is closed as far as God's concerned. The case is closed as far as he's concerned. It's dealt with. There's no condemnation because life-giving Spirit has come. Come on. He's come. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth has come to give you life and life abundant. The case is closed as far as God's concerned. Now I'm going to give you another scripture in Romans chapter 8 that just sort of, there's so many scriptures in Romans 8 that pop this truth out. And we just got to, you know, we got to kind of glean it, right? We got to go there and get this and that. So let's go to another passage in the same chapter in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to go to a section also that you're familiar with. Verse 28. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'll read again from the NIV. So now, if I know that the case is closed, well, we're talking about God, by the way. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your beginning. He knows when you were formed. He knows the desire and the design and the purpose he had for you. Life happens. Stuff happens. Tragedy happens. Calamity happens. Trouble happens. Difficulty happens. Sickness happens. Death happens. Abuse happens. All that stuff happens. But God still has a design and purpose for your life. All those weapons formed against you will not prosper because God's purpose will still be accomplished. You and I just need to line up. I pray that the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will come and speak to you today to show you that none of that stuff will keep you down from fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. Romans 8:28. It says, we know, hey, we know that all these things work together for good to those who, come on, all, we know that all, in all things, God works together for good for those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. The first thing you need to recognize, I want the purpose of God. We already talked about it. I want the will of God in my life. I want, so God's saying, listen, all this stuff that went on in your life is for a purpose. It's for a purpose, a destiny, a call that I have for your life, something that's going to show, you know, it's going to manifest itself. And even now, like, when is the purpose of God fulfilled? Purpose of God in my life and your life is fulfilled until the day I drop dead. Sometimes people say, oh, my dear, I've lived all these years and I really didn't feel like accomplishing much of anything. And then all of a sudden, you're gone. And then, well, the Lord can some, you know, I mean, it's interesting because I've often thought about that story. I think Neil mentioned it last week about the guy, I don't know, did he mention it here or not? The guy who led Billy Graham to the Lord. Anybody remember that? Was it here in our church? You know, it, who knows the guy? You know, it's like go back in history. It doesn't, hey, even if it, hey, even if your purpose was like John the Baptist, I want you to think. How many remember John the Baptist in the Bible? If all his purpose was to point out to Jesus and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes the sin away the world, and to baptize Jesus, his purpose was filled. And next thing you know, he's beheaded. Oh, look at Jesus. He says, okay, God, we finished the purpose. We finished the purpose. I just want to have his purpose, man. I want to live my life. So he says, all these things, oh yeah, all the things, which means all the terrible, bad things. That God, wasn't God's plan and purpose that you'd go through this, because he knows the counsel. He knows future. He knows past. He knows us history. He knows us completely. What he's saying is none of that stuff will matter. None of that stuff will hold you back from accomplishing the purpose of God, because he says, all these things will work together for good. Come on, Lord. Thank you, God. Come on, think about it. So whatever's gone, any victimized, anything where somebody's beat you down, you feel like a victim, you feel like something. Hey, in the name of Jesus, I want to take authority over that today. And we're gonna expose that thing for what it is, an ugly lie that's holding you down. Come on. Hey, are you with me? I want to see transformation here. I want to believe in the transformation today, because God's said it is his purpose. So I want you to look at this here. Romans 8:20. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and have been called according to his. This is what I want you to see. This is an amazing section of scripture. And you can't read 28 without reading 29 and 30 as well. So if next time you read 28 and quote it without thinking of 29 and 30, that you might be misquoting it. Listen to this. I'm not saying you will be. I'm saying you won't have the full impact of what it means. And so listen. So he says, all the things God works together for good, the good, bad, and the ugly, anything that happened in your life, he's working it together for good for those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. Hey, the word for is a connective word, right? For is connects verse 28. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. God saw you in your mother's womb. Those who God foreknew, he saw you and you in your mother's womb. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. Why? To be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he... Guys, aren't you glad that you were called? Come on, this week, I was just brought to my knees several times this weekend. I've been brought to my knees this morning saying, I have been called. Can you imagine millions of people in the world out there? I'm called. Shake your head, guys. You've got the privilege of knowing God and a revelation of truth. How many people don't? Maybe you feel bad for those people. Maybe, and I do too. But I'm telling you, I'm sitting here feeling blessed. I'm blessed. I'm humbled by the fact that I'm called, and those he called, he justified. And let me tell you something, those he justified, he glorified. You know what that means? That when he is predetermined in that way, that God has seen. You know what God sees? He sees you in your mother's womb. There's already a call. I don't understand all this, guys. I'm just telling you what it's saying here. So there's a call on your life. You get called. You are the moment you become justified. You know what justified means? It means to be born again. It means to receive Jesus in your life. Don't get complicated. It's very simple. You know, the word justified really means to be declared righteous in his sight. That's what the word means. To be declared righteous in God's sight is the word justified. That God declared you righteous, and the justification that God gives you, making you justified, is through Jesus' death on the cross. Read Romans chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. You're brought into a right relationship with God, not by your own works, by the work of Jesus on the cross. Amen? Come on. But let me tell you something. So when you're justified, when you're made right in the eyes of God, you are glorified. Hey, don't miss it. In the eyes of God, you're already, thank you, one or two people that got the idea what I'm talking about. In the eyes of God, you're already, in the eyes of God, you're already seated in the heavenly place with Christ. Isn't that true? That's a reality. That's not just a figment of my imagination that I can say, oh, wow, wouldn't that be cool? That's a nice picture. That's a reality. There's a reality that I am no, there's something shifted. The reason I'm bringing all this up is because if my mind is to be renewed, it needs to be renewed by truth. If I'm going to be transformed, I have to believe that the transformation really has already been accomplished by God. There's already something shifted. So when it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Something has shifted. I'm changed. There's a change. Now, so it says, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what he's saying is, listen, something shifted in the heavens. Something shifted in the eyes of God. When God called you, he justified you. When he justified you, when it says whom God called, he justified, and whom God justified, he glorified, can anybody do anything against the work of God? Well, let me assure you that. Look what it says next verse. All these verses are connected. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, guys. Hey, this is his word. If God says it, don't let anybody else tell you any other thing. Don't listen to any other lies. This is truth. Come on. Hey, get excited. If God said it, he will do it. If it says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Don't let the lies of the enemy that he's speaking to your mind about who you are, whether it came through hurt, whether it came through pain, whether it came through ungodly beliefs, whether it came through stuff that happened to me that I shared with you a few minutes ago. Don't listen to the lies. Believe that God has a divine purpose, and glorification is his purpose. His purpose is that you would fulfill his, you know, that destiny, the call that God has on your life, and it will take place. By the way, you know, we're in a hurry, but God's not. Whew. I wish all that he had in mind for me, the minute I was born again, would have changed in an instant. It didn't. Yes, I am born again. Yes, I'm justified. Yes, I'm, you know, really, in many ways, when God sees me, I'm already healed, delivered, and set free. I'm already glorified. If I'm glorified, I'm glorified. Here's the other thing. We look, come on now, guys. Hey, don't lose me now. You and I look at the natural. We look at life from the natural perspective, you know, and we feel it, we think it, we stuff happens and it affects us. So all of a sudden we're in the environment where it's natural. Stay with me. Okay? And we're thinking that natural is the most important thing. We're thinking earthly, natural, physical. Guess what? God doesn't see it in the earthly, physical, natural. God sees it in the spiritual. God sees it beyond the natural. You know, your body, as much as it's important, it's not what's you. Your body's going to die someday and go to the grave and just be dust. We say from dust to dust, ashes to ashes. What's going to live forever is your spirit. Inner man. God's more interested in your inner man than your outward man. And that life that God gives to us, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, we have this treasure, which is this eternal life, which God sees as a treasure. You know, we think that this body is the treasure and this natural world is the treasure. God says we have this treasure in jars of clay. The jars of clay get beaten up on. The jars of clay get crushed. The jars of great clay can crack, right? Remember we were on that topic on Wednesday night? Yeah, sure. You going to just speak about it for a second? Okay. So you just come on up with it. I'm going to give you a little more preamble here. So jars of clay, right? The idea behind that is, you know, the idea behind that is that it says we have this treasure. I mean, is it 2 Corinthians 4, 6, 7, something like that? Can you check it out for me? I think it's 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 6 and 7 there. Well, no, I don't want to take time for that. Just give me a quick, just a quick testimony there, just about it.
Years ago, in my 20s, I was told that I had was like an alabaster jar, and had to be crushed and broken until the perfume could come out, like when she anointed Jesus. they have to crush. It's like in an alabaster container. It has to be broken. And then before she could pour it all over Jesus and anoint him for his death, before his death. So I was told that I had to be crushed and broken before the perfume could come out, before the Holy Spirit could come out. And then the church in the Nazarene, I was, one of the ladies came over to me, she says, I've never done this before, she said. She said, you're like a cracked jar, and the light is just starting to come out through the cracks. The Holy Spirit is just starting to emerge.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's awesome.
If you want to have the picture of actually that my best
One of my mentors from back home, she gave me an alabaster jar with it was pale blue with lilies of the valley on it. And that actually fell and broke. And I saved all the pieces. But this week, God told me to glue it back together because he was putting me back together.
Amen. Hallelujah. Stay up here a second, please. Come on, let's put your hands out here. This the Lord's doing it, even through the cracks and through you know, light's going to shine. Amen. It's already shining, right? So, Lord, I just declare over you, Elaine, the light's already shining. The Lord's already given you this word. I pray it'll go deep in your mind, in your heart. Put your hand on your heart. Come on. Let's speak life over it. You know, you are light.
That's my name means light.
Come on. There it is. In Jesus' name. So I say the lives of the enemy will no longer speak over those evil light. The light has come to put away the darkness. God's given you this picture. That now is the time to put this together. I speak that's a word of the Lord over you. And I just say even now that this hope is a new, this is a new day for you in Jesus' name. Come on. Cancel all the assignments of the enemy. Break the power of those curses. Come on, break the power of the word curses. Break the power of those things that have caused you. Hey, come on. I want to cancel that victim mentality. Gone. Listen to what I'm saying. Victim mentality is gone.
It's
no longer victim.
It's gone out the door.
Amen. You are victorious. Come on. Hallelujah.
That door spoke to me that I closed the door on the enemy yesterday.
Hey, come on. Amen. Come on. Let's declare that. Amen. New day for Elaine. Hallelujah. Let's just believe that. Let's just trust that this is what God's about. Because it's about that thing where the enemy wants to keep us crushed. So it says we have this back in 2 Corinthians 4:6. I think it was 6 or 7. Yeah, well, let's just start in 6 because it's actually really important. Because it's got to do with light. Yeah. God said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So listen. In another place, it says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Another place, it says that when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And you go from glory to glory. That's also in 2 Corinthians 3, last part. But we don't need to go there right now. So all connected. So what he says here, God who said light shine out of darkness has made his light to shine out of our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ. How does this light shine? Look at the next part. We have this treasure. What's the treasure? What is the treasure? Well, come on. You read verse 6. What's the treasure? He's not going to say we have this treasure without giving you a clue what it is. Come on. His glory. His light. His presence. We carry his presence, his glory in jars of clay. Okay. To show that all... Show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I'll keep reading because sometimes we just leave it there and we think, oh, well, that's it, you know. But you know when it shines? When the light shines is in the crushing and in the suppressing, in the pressure. Look what the next verse says. We are hard-pressed on every side. Okay, this jar of clay is hard-pressed on every side. Why? Because God wants his light to shine. We're hard-pressed on every side. or sorry, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, because something is rising up from within, right? The light is rising up from within. Presence of God is rising up. And then it says, persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Okay. Get back to this. Thank you for those verses. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The phrase that we're preaching on today is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The truth of God, let it transform you. Let it bring glory out of you. Let it be like those guys on the Transfiguration Hill, shining brightly. But you know, it's that thing, because they're already there, but God has an opportunity for us to go from glory to glory here. Come on. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I just need to have my mind set on things of earth, not things of heaven. That's why it says in Colossians chapter 3, set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. Because when you occupy the things of the earth, then the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and you know, the stuff that happens here is going to consume us. There's something to be said about renewing of our mind. And how do you renew your mind? You know, this is another two-minute message here. It's basic. You renew your mind with truth. What's truth? Well, His word is truth. Psalm 119. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is the word, living word, His truth. Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So when truth is spoken into my, I want to keep encouraging you guys. I can't do it enough except just talk about it. Is to get in the presence of the Lord. Get in the word of the Lord. Get in a place where Google's not the answer. When did that become inspired by God? This is all scriptures given by inspiration of God, not Google. YouTube's not inspired. I'm not saying you can't get good information. Yeah, but something that's given by inspiration of God, which is God-breathed, and it teaches me how to live righteously and godly in this world, is God's Word. Jesus is the expression of God's Word. If I'm confused with anything in the Word of God, all I got to do is ask Jesus, what do you say about it? He'll fix me up right quick. Even if I'm leaning towards legalism, how many of you know what that means? That you're trying to make it so harsh and, you know, God, Jesus has come to basically fulfill the law. Hey, He's already fulfilled the law. The law is fulfilled according to Romans chapter 8, verse 2 there. I just have to trust in Jesus now. And He's going to, by His Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me into being the right person. Come on, this is a long message.